Tuesday before Thanksgiving, everybody. How you doing? I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Hopefully you have the day off. All right, if you're in education, I assume most of the school districts are closed today. Just be safe. Have a good holiday is all I can tell you on that one. And be careful with all that COVID going around. And enjoy your turkey. I know it's probably going to be a smaller Thanksgiving for everybody, but that's okay. We can handle that for a year. We're tough. Everybody can Zoom and say hello, okay, to their relatives and friends who normally would join them. Anyway, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Got my old friend, Dr. Lori Kerner from Long Island, coming on today. She's helping to lead a district on Long Island in New York, where she's Executive Director of Curriculum Instruction and Professional Personnel, which kind of is like an assistant superintendent's job, it sounds like to me. Okay, she's going to talk about what it's been like leading through a pandemic in terms of the character traits that people need to do that, what you're looking for in your kids with social emotional learning, et cetera, et cetera. I'll bring Lori on in just a second, but I just want you to know we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Please join up with us if you're in education. It's free. Lori, I expect you to be doing that before the end of the show over at ace-ed.org. We really need educators over there, and we've got to get a lot more with our membership, which is growing every day. We're way up into the almost 3,000 now to hear your voice on equity, et cetera. Our magazine is over there. You'll see where it says Read the Current Issue. It's Equity and Access Pre-K-12. It's the only education magazine dedicated to those two terms, and it's a beautiful new issue which honors our champions of equity. Okay, we've selected eight people for this issue that are highlighted in the issue. We invite you to nominate others as the year goes through. As the year goes through, you'll see a banner up there that invites you to a nomination form. So please go over. It's a lot of good stuff going over there at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, and enough of me blabbing, let me bring on my friend Lori Kerner. Hi, Laura. How you doing?
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine. Lori asked me if this was going to be a Zoom call or just on the phone. I told her, don't do her hair. It's just on the phone via podcast. So you didn't do your hair, did you, Laura?
I did not.
Good girl.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me back as a guest. It's an honor to be with you today.
Well, let me throw that back on you and say thank you so much for reminding me a month or so ago to have you on as a guest. You're always welcome here, my friend. Okay, that's for damn sure, I got to tell you. Okay, you're one of my favorite people, and I just love having you on here. Lori's written for our magazine. I'm like, Lori, you're always invited to write again. Go over there. You want to see what's going on over there now. Check it out at ace-ed.org. You're going to love it.
I absolutely do love it, Larry. And as a matter of fact, I share it with my colleagues, and I will continue to do that. As you mentioned earlier, so not to worry. We'll build it up.
I'm not worried. I just want you involved because I appreciate your good thoughts and all the things that you're doing, the ideas that you have. And speaking of that, you're at school. By the way, I was right. You call yourself Executive Director of Curriculum Instruction Professional Personnel, which I assume is HR. So it sounds to me like you're an assistant superintendent. Am I right? What's going on with that?
Well, you know what? I don't really think our professional responsibilities are – specifically about the titles, right, Larry? So I'm leading the way with our team as far as curriculum and instruction. And
cool.
Yes, a large part of my job is HR. So
yeah.
Call it what you will.
I will call you Executive Director of Curriculum Instruction and Professional Personnel like you want me to. But it's cool. It's cool. It encompasses a lot. And I'm glad they're using you.
Absolutely.
Okay, for all of that because you have expertise in all those areas. And let's start with a simple question. How are the kids coming back to school where you are? Okay, how the teachers doing? What's it look like? Just start with the simple stuff, the basics. We're at Thanksgiving. All right, go ahead.
Sure.
What's going on?
Yeah, so where I am right now, we have children in K to four coming back. They came back in a hybrid model. 5-6 was a hybrid model. 7-12 was a 6-day cycle hybrid model. So, you know, it's a very interesting time, as you know, Larry. And we also have many, many children whose families have chosen for them to be on full remote learning, full virtual
yeah,
learning.
Sure.
So it's very interesting time in American education, a lot of out-of-the-box thinking, working
yep.
together, collaborating. So, yeah, I'm quite thrilled that we made it this far, to be perfectly honest with you. I think schools are generally doing an outstanding job.
Hear, hear. I couldn't agree with you more. And I always say to people, turn around. Every educator, no matter what you are, whether you're a superintendent, a classroom teacher, somebody in between, just pat yourself on the back. We did not close
sure.
down. The building might have, but the education did not. We're doing the best we can in an area we're unfamiliar with. And actually, what you said about your district, okay, it's pretty much what I'm hearing across the country for the most part. Okay.
Yeah.
And but the other part is, the COVID has changed everything. All right, and we're relooking. I believe we are at education. And how it works physically, all right, in terms of remote, hybrid, summer school, some aren't, et cetera, et cetera. What do you see coming out of all this, Lori? You must have talked about this with your colleagues at the district. What do they see as the future of all this?
That's such a great question, Larry. And, yes, we're constantly discussing the current reality that we're in and futuristically what education will look
yeah.
like or maybe what education should look like. So I think there's a silver lining in everything that we experience, right? And
there
so
is.
My hope for American education is that we sit together, come together, and reevaluate our curriculum and reevaluate our benchmarks for our students, because obviously during this time, the gaps are widening, right? And you used the word equity earlier, and I hope that we do get to chat about that in a little bit.
Oh, we can.
But I think, you know, over the last year, a lot of our Regents exams were canceled.
Yeah.
You know, benchmark testing is not the way that it used to be. And I'm quite thrilled about that, actually, because I think it will allow educators to get back to the real meaning of what it means to educate children, right? And to take that time to have those deep conversations and really let the children learn more about themselves, their talents, their passions. I'm not saying that we shouldn't assess children. I'm saying that we need to reevaluate the ways that we assess a true acquisition of knowledge. So.
Hear, hear. And we're going to see, we didn't do the Regents this year and whatever you might call the Regents around the country. Okay, whatever standardized testing you're using, I'll just say that.
Right.
Okay, we're learning that, hey, maybe we got to take another look at this, okay, and see where
great.
Kids are. Yeah, and by the way, Lori, I want to say this, and this is key. Lori is an expert on whole child education, okay? And again, you really are, and we've talked about that on the show before. And, you know, sometimes with the standardized test, we tend to lose sight of that. All right. It also comes down to the academics and how well they're doing in third grade and all that sort of stuff. When really every kid is different, and we got to take care of every kid social, emotionally, etc. You wanted to talk about equity, which I love because I am the president of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org. So I love talking equity. The name of our magazine, Lori, is Equity and Access.
I love that.
Great for it. I'm telling you, but you wanted to talk about it. So go ahead. I'm going to throw that word out there, equity, and you talk.
Yeah, equity has always been, you know, something that's at the forefront, especially of education. But I personally, in the last, you know, year or so, I think it's really hitting us right in the face as far as access for students technology-wise,
yep.
right? And,
yep.
and we're looking at these gaps that initially were wide because of varying reasons, right, socioeconomics and things of that nature. But now the gaps are just becoming so much more wide. And I think in my experience and in my conversations with my colleagues, districts are working diligently and tirelessly to make sure that all children have
yeah.
equitable opportunities, especially now, to receive a, you know, a quality education, whether they're hybrid, full in, or remote. So
yep.
it's definitely something that we need to spend more time on. We've had so many amazing contributors and donations of
yep.
devices, specifically
ah,
where I am, and we're so grateful for that, right?
Yeah, That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And you know, and Laura, you're in a nice upscale district in on Long Island, yet you still have the equity situation and the access to learning situation. Am I correct on that?
It's everywhere, Larry.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you never know what's going on behind closed doors in family situations. And what appears is not always what is, right? So.
You're exactly right, and I'll tell you, I've heard stories of, you know, and I heard this from a school in the Bronx called the High School of the Future. I don't know if you know that school. They very quickly, at the beginning of all this, gave out Chromebooks to every kid, which was great. That's terrific. Then they found out half the kids didn't even have access in the Bronx. It's
exactly.
Just unbelievable. Yeah, it's just
it's
hold on
life.
A second. I'm just going to clear my throat. Hold on. Excuse me. I had a cough hit me just as I was finishing up that conversation there. Sorry, Laura.
That's okay.
Okay, cool. Okay, I'm fighting off as the weather changes up here, and I just found out I have asthma. Can you believe this?
Oh, boy.
An old fart like me, I have asthma. How'd that happen, you know? What can I tell you? Doesn't make sense. All right? It doesn't make sense at all. You know, and this equity and access thing is really, really key. Please, again, I'm going to say to everybody, it's the name of our magazine. Go over there, check it out, ace-ed.org.
Yeah, perfect timing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's perfect timing to share out. I think it's a good time for people to have a look, especially over this little bit of a break. Some really great ideas, some fantastic articles and expertise there. So thanks for doing that and spearheading that magazine, Larry.
It's really good. Again, you're welcome to write for us. You know, you wanted to talk about this. So you named this show, you wanted to Leading Through a Pandemic. All right. So you were a school and a district leader. You have to lead through this pandemic. Besides the obvious, okay, and I'm going to ask it more for the teachers than the students. What has come up, okay, that all of it, that really, you and your colleagues in leadership administration had to really lead through? What are the things that have come up, okay, during this thing that kind of surprised you with the teachers? Anything?
What has come up? I would tend to lean more towards what they've been doing. Maybe that the community isn't able to see firsthand, you know, behind the scenes. I know that educators, faculty, staff, everyone has been spending numerous hours learning new ways to teach children, learning about technology, learning about home situations. I know
scary.
That we've all been working tirelessly around the clock. So, and I think this is a really important point, Larry, that when people are required to quarantine, right, and work from home, I think they're working harder from home in many cases than when they're actually in the building, because there's no home school disconnect. So that's come up a lot. And my concern is to make sure that the adults are taking care of themselves. I'm very careful to check in with our faculty and staff and just ask them, how are we doing? What's going on with you? Because it's the oxygen mask theory, right? To take care of ourselves so that we can serve our students and their families 110%. So that's come up a lot. I want people to rest. It's okay to shut down.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, it's very hard. I did a show yesterday. This is interesting. You might want to listen to it. That's to everybody out there. A gentleman named Dennis Yim. Okay, and he is a, Kaplan Test Prep and Kaplan Education. He works for them, and he's been doing online education, okay, for years. And he went through what he's learned over the course of doing online education. He has some great tips, okay, for educators. There's a show I did yesterday. Today's the 25th of November, so it was November 24th. And you might want to listen to that, because he was saying things that just made so much sense as he was saying them. And there were things, after all these shows that I've done on this, that never even came up. Because the whole problem is teachers aren't used to being on screen all the time. They're not movie stars. Okay?
Right.
They're not movie stars.
Right. Yeah.
They're not television. They're not Chicago PD. Okay? Suddenly they're on screen. Okay? And he made the simplest point. I'm just going to tell you this, Lord. You might want to pass it on. He said, change the camera angle every so often. Try to imagine a TV show, okay, where they only had the camera in one place. Mm-hmm. You just saw one. And you got to keep people's attention. Suddenly you're on
That's
screen.
That's a great point.
You know, and it's just the simplest point.
Sure.
Okay? And just
sure,
something
definitely.
He's learned over the course of time. Yeah. Well, how are the teachers? You asked, how are the teachers doing? How are the teachers doing? What are you hearing?
I'll tell you, I've sat in on so many virtual lessons, if you will, and I have seen the most
great.
Dynamic, the most magnificent, the most passionate, out-of-the-box ways of teaching in my 31 years, Larry. I am so impressed. It's just, these are pioneers, and we need to really commend, educators and faculty and staff all together for coming together to remember that the children are the focus. We have to remain focused on why we're here. And you mentioned something before about learning new ways. Where I am in particular and in conversations with my colleagues across the state, teachers are teaching each other, and they're really coming together. They're learning from each other, taking tips from each other. And that's, you know, the children are the beneficiaries of that collaboration. It's been a really eye-opening, heartwarming time, quite honestly.
They're really coming through, aren't they?
They really are. They really are.
And I hope the community. And I hope the communities get this. Okay, the teacher. I think they are. The teachers are really, really coming through, and so are the administrators. I got to tell you, because it's actually from your point of view, Laura. I haven't asked this question yet. You just said, well, you've sat in on some virtual classes and all that. What's been the results? How are the administrators doing? Let's talk about that.
Tired.
Your colleagues. What?
I said they're tired.
I bet.
It's been nonstop, obviously, since the pandemic hit. 24/7 over the summer, on the weekends. Emails, text messages, conversations, but I believe that they have been incredibly flexible, incredibly patient, incredibly collaborative, and again, you know, working and reworking master schedules and ways of doing things that we are not used to. This is you don't learn it in college. You don't learn it over the course of your career. There's no chapter on what if a worldwide pandemic hits education. So they've been leaning on each other, and I think they've been doing a superior job, to be perfect. And it may sound cliche, but it's true. It's very impressive. And, you know, we see that there are children that are struggling, absolutely 100%, because children are meant to be in school, right? Full time with their teachers, generally. That's the way our system was created. But
but
I think that under the circumstances, we do need to stop and step back and kind of pat each other on the back a little bit. And the children, too, and the parents. So, you know, everyone's
absolutely.
Yeah.
It brings up that all along it's been a team effort. Okay.
Agreed.
And sometimes we lose track of that it's a team effort. All right?
Yes, it is.
But it is
yes,
one.
It is.
And this really brought that home.
It has
this really
that,
brought
Larry.
That
are,
home.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, when families need a little more support, we bring in a little more support. And when teachers need a little more support, we bring in. So I agree with you. It has definitely solidified that homeschool, the importance of that homeschool connection.
Right. It's just so darn important. And again, I hate this pandemic. Everybody hates this pandemic. And I want to make the point, people are dying. Okay, people are really sick. People are dying. Mm-hmm. This is bad. Okay, it's really bad, and it's bad everywhere. All right, it just stinks, and it's just kind of torn the country apart in some ways. I mean, it's just bad. All right, but we got to look at this as something that we're all going to learn from. okay, and not make the same mistakes, which brings me to an interesting question. I know you have taught at several colleges, all right, as an adjunct professor and an education professor and all that sort of stuff. And you said a minute ago, we were never taught in a college course how to do what we're doing now. Okay, that was a paraphrase of Dr. Kerner there, okay? But that's basically what you said, all right? And I'm curious, do you think teacher education is going to change as we go, as we march through this mess, okay? And things are changing, and we say it's going to change for the future. Well, what's going to happen with teacher education? Just from your point of view, Laura, I know you're not an expert in it, but I'd love your opinion.
Change, Larry, and my concern for the change is that I don't want it to shift so much so that it's over-focused on this virtual learning, right? I want to make sure that our teacher candidates learn how to use technology to enhance best instructional practices. So that's my concern. But I do think it needs to change. I've felt that for many years. I think our teacher candidates, they need more practical time on the job, learning how to be flexible, and learning that a lesson plan is just a plan, and learning that it's okay to stop and listen and have those deep conversations with children to form the connections and the relationships that are so necessary, right? Children don't learn from people they don't like. We all know that very definitively.
Do any of us?
So, yes, I think that's true. I think it has to change, but my concern as a professor, as an educator, and a leader would be, let's make sure that we have that balance of technology to enhance human contact and best practices.
You said that very well, and that was a great way to put this, okay, because the technology, I hate to say this, because the human aspect is so important, we got to learn to put the humanity into technology and learn to use the technology in every possible flexible way and really know how to do it. You know, teachers love, and I'll get back to what I said before, teachers love being on stage. They are on stage. You know, it's fun to be in front of a group and teach your kids. Like, teachers like that, okay? Well, now you're not in front of the group, but you are on screen, okay? Mm-hmm. And you have the same fun on screen. Think of yourself as in a TV show, okay? And get these kids interested and have some fun and do what you do best. You know, I want to get serious also on this subject, and this is key. And a lot of it goes to an equity and access situation, is social-emotional learning. Okay, and the social-emotional stability is two-pronged. It's both for the professors, for the professionals in the field, the teachers, and it's also for the students. Okay, we've always talked about social-emotional learning, and most school districts, okay, do something about it. They have been for a number of years now. Hopefully, that's paid off with resilience and all that sort of thing. What are your thoughts on the pandemic and social-emotional stability, social-emotional learning? Laura?
I'm really concerned about children. I'm concerned about people in general right now, but especially children. You know, we have children at home learning on full remote, so there's a lack, I should say, of socialization, right? And opportunities to use that pragmatic language to build those foundational skills that they need for lifelong success. So that's number one. I'm concerned about their emotional well-being because they're scared. They're afraid. We need to turn the news off at home and make sure that we have real conversations with our children and make sure that they feel safe. So socially and emotionally, I have always felt, and you know this, Larry, that it's important to make sure it's part of our everyday curriculum, not in a vacuum, but infused, right, implemented within and across the content areas. So there's a lot of wonderful resources out there. We are using many of them in my current district. But I think it's important for us to expand upon this focal point of social and emotional well-being, development, and growth for children, because it's Maslow before Bloom, Larry, right? Children can't learn until they feel safe and happy in their world.
Yeah. Yeah. What's been your, I have to ask this as we wind down here, what's been your biggest good surprise to come out of all this? I mean, basically we're talking about a horror show, but even horror movies have some good parts in them. Okay, what's been the big, fun, good surprise of all this? Lori?
Oh, personally, it's been, there's a positive side to the Zoom, because personally I have had the opportunity to meet so many people across Long Island and across the state,
yep.
and even within the district that I'm working in, and to really connect with people and have deep conversations with sometimes it's upwards of 100 people on a call. But that surprises the coming together, Larry, all of us coming together in the best interest of the children and making sure that we are diligent and that we are persevering on their behalf and with their families. So that's been a great, it's been a positive, definitely.
Yeah, you know, actually, you're the second person in 3 days to tell me that. Okay, I was on the call with a superintendent from Washington State, and he was saying that what they used to call parent-teacher days, now they call them family engagement days, okay, because they like that because it shifts the from parent-teacher to more family-oriented. And he said, we've never had such big crowds, okay, come to quote parent-teacher, okay, the night, so to speak. He said, because, you know, there's no excuses anymore. Oh, geez, I got to go bowling and I can't go. It's the bowling team. No, that doesn't work anymore. There is no bowling league. Okay, and so all of a sudden, because parents now have the kids at home all the time, they want to be in contact with the schools, and the communication between the schools and the families has really increased. And they were the people I've talked to about that have been pleasantly surprised, like you were just a minute ago.
Yeah, and
you know, it's
actually,
nice.
You just reminded me. We created a parent university, a virtual parent university.
There you go.
A resource page for our community,
great.
And so we're promoting that now. And I think there's so many valuable resources there for families and activities and ideas and things of that nature. So thanks for reminding me and
no
bringing
problem.
That up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just there's going to be good coming out of all this, and we're all going to get through it together. And we got great leaders out there and great teachers like Lori. Okay, thanks a million, my friend Lori Kerner. I appreciate
Thank
this.
Thank you so much. It's an honor,
by the way,
always,
you got everybody. You got four kids. Everybody at home tomorrow?
Everyone's at home. We're looking forward to a quiet family day this year, but just feeling very grateful and very blessed and. Focusing on the positive. So thank you again.
Focus on the positive. And remember, no matter how small the Thanksgiving is, remember you're not the turkey. Okay? That could be worse. You could be the turkey.
Happy
okay?
Thanksgiving,
so,
my friend.
You too, Laura. Thank you. Appreciate this.
Thank you so Bye-bye. Much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Dr. Lori Kerner, everybody, my good friend. She's terrific. She's written for the magazine. I just think the world of her. Okay? Dr. Lori Kerner, K-O-E-R. N-E-R. All right, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Check out the new issue of our magazine over there. See all the good stuff we're doing. Join with us. It's free for educators. ace-ed.org. I got another show to do before we sign off for Thanksgiving, but you may not listen to that show before the holiday, so please have a safe and good one. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening. Safe holidays.